T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Hey, fun little exercise for you and Paul and Brayton if you haven't seen Twitter. You're familiar with Liam Neeson, yes?
I've heard of him.
The works of Liam Neeson, the revenge films. You've seen. You probably haven't seen
Taken.
Taken.
Right?
Have you seen Taken?
I mean, I know of it.
Okay.
Have I seen it? No.
Paul, have you seen or do you know of Taken?
Yes.
Okay. Liam Neeson's going to star in another one of those revenge movies. It's called Hard Powder. What's it about?
Mm-hmm.
Hard Powder?
I've seen this, so I can't answer it.
Cocaine. I have no idea.
Okay, a little bit. A little bit. There's apparently a drug cartel he's going to dismantle. Liam Neeson is to star in Hard Powder, where he is a snowplow driver hellbent on revenge. And he's going to disrupt the cartel because they apparently murdered his son or something like that.
So he's
going
to like put these guys into snowplows?
Mangle
them
and
stuff?
A snowplow driver hellbent on revenge in Hard Powder.
I'll get you. When he just plows the guy?
Brayton? I think what he does is he'll disrupt the cartel's roads. He'll just plow snow onto it, and then they'll be trapped for days.
They can't transport the
drugs. It's a very slow-moving plot as they're starved by the snow.
Here's your, we're going to get to Paul in a second, your headlines. Bills, Browns tonight, 7:30, right here on WGR. Darnold for the Jets last night started the game, played 3 first-half series, 8 of 11, 62 yards through a pick. Nick Foles left the game for the Eagles last night with a strained shoulder. Dez Bryant met with the Browns yesterday. The two sides apparently trying to work out a contract. Yanks lost to Tampa. Sorry, Paul. The Mets split a doubleheader in Philly. They scored 24 runs in the same game. It usually takes them 2 weeks to do that. The Jays lost to Kansas City. The Bisons lost to Gwinnett. And Brent Snedeker shot a 59, the 10th sub-60 round in PGA history. Those are your headlines. The headlines, by the way, brought to you by Account Temps. When you could use help closing your books and need additional staff, it's time to call Account Temps. They can provide you with bookkeepers and other accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis and fast. Call today, Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Before Paul's done, I have one Sabres question for him, so we can do that.
Yeah, that's cool.
We can do that afterwards.
We were talking hockey the other day at camp about the prospect challenge and the things that are coming up. How are you, by the way?
I'm well. I thought maybe you're having me on today to give you a review of the Miranda Lambert Little Big Town concert.
Oh yeah, happy to hear it.
I couldn't tell you who a Miranda Lambert is, but
you don't know who Miranda Lambert is?
Nope, no idea.
Hmm.
Apparently she's a singer.
You wouldn't be excited that they got together and sang the last 12 songs together on stage.
Is Miranda and Lambert two people?
No.
Okay.
Right. You've never heard of Little Red Wagon? It's one of my opens.
I had a Little Red Wagon as a kid. Does that count? One of those, what was it? Red Flyer, something Flyer?
Radio Flyer.
Radio Flyer. Yeah, I had one of those. Is that, no? I'm just burying myself even further, aren't I, Paul? I'll stop.
I'll ask my Sabres question first, Paul, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every day that goes by, I'm thinking maybe the Sam Reinhart deal gets shorter. Like William Karlsson took a 1-year deal. You know, if the sides are far apart, you say let's meet in the middle for 1 year and meet again at that point. Is that possible, or what's going on with Reinhart?
Yeah, I've been saying that all along, that Reinhart's camp might just say, you know what, we can't hold out. I mean, you just can't. Well, you can, but I just don't think it's a smart thing to do on your second contract. So bet on Sam. You know, Jack Eichel, when they were talking about a contract extension and people were wondering if it would get done, and he said, that's fine. We can wait. I'll bet on myself. You know, there are no hard feelings. We'll just play it out. And, you know, we can do it next year, and I'll bet on myself and probably wind up getting more out of it. So, you know, Sam could do that, and, you know, then instead of settling for something he doesn't want, for a lower figure, say, all right, I'll play 1 year, I'll have a great season, and we'll do it again next year.
You see, you shouldn't ask the Sabres question because
Mike,
now I'm excited about hockey, and we have him on to talk Bills Browns.
No, we'll talk Bills Browns. I just the Reinhardt thing.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like over these last couple months, I'll think, boy, is that going to happen today? Like, when is that going to happen? A lot of the players of RFA guys have been signed, and I'm just kind of waiting still.
Paul, I have one hockey question you never expected from me this morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to Instigators yesterday. They were talking about Sekera's injury in Edmonton and whether or not the Oilers would be calling the Sabres because, you know, the Sabres have numbers in terms of defensemen. They have too many, really. And there's a guy they brought up for here that I always forget about. Matt Hunwick. Is he in the top six?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I think right now, if Gooley goes to Rochester, I would have him and Beaulieu as the 7 and 8.
Okay. Because Beaulieu was a name they brought up as maybe a trade idea. Would Edmonton want Beaulieu?
Mm.
He's got 1 year left, I think, on his contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
But they mentioned Hunwick. And I mean,
the Sabres did that last year. They picked him up from Montreal thinking, you know, he can come to Buffalo and we can kind of get some of the bad habits out of him. And bad habits on the ice is what I'm talking about. And you know, it just didn't work out at all. So I don't know why another team would sit there and say the same thing when it didn't work at all for the Sabres. So I don't think he has a lot of trade value, but who knows? I mean, maybe you can. Somebody would be interested in that.
Okay. You've been out at camp quite often. As you sit there and watch practice, what are some of the things that have impressed you at camp or stuck with you from what you've been watching?
Well, one thing, you know, people talk about Josh Allen and accuracy, and it hasn't been as bad as maybe as advertised, as maybe I was expecting it to be when he was drafted. And, yeah, there have been some bad throws, and all three quarterbacks have made some bad throws, to be quite honest with you. Sometimes it's miscommunication, but it just, you know, it hasn't been as bad as maybe some people thought it would be, or some people who aren't even watching camp, who are quote experts, are trying to make it out to be. You know, sitting there. Well, Allen's having a poor camp, but they haven't been to camp yet. You know, because they got to write something nationally, the type of thing. So, you know, that's been the one thing. I don't think the offensive line, the starters, have been as bad as maybe a lot of people thought they would be, but
agreed.
That goes to Jeremy's pledge.
I'm sorry, God, I didn't mean it. Yeah, no, because I agree. I was expecting a train wreck on the offensive line, and against Carolina, they were fine.
Right, but nobody's game planned and the whole thing. So far, so good. I mean, you got to give them credit for what you've seen, but we're a long ways from playing Baltimore and having a game plan.
Who would you start in week one against Baltimore quarterback, Mr. Hamilton?
Well, I haven't seen McCarron yet as far as, you know, playing with the ones. I'm thinking maybe we will see that today, tonight. So, you know, I would expect McCarron might be the guy who would get the job. I also am thinking as part of the process of Allen was they were thinking – all along probably that we want him to be the number two. We would rather not dress him as the third. I mean, you know, if something happens, let him come in and start playing type of a deal. I have no inside information of that. He's been practicing with the twos this week. And I think that I've kind of had it in the back of my mind all along that the winner between Peterman and McCarron gets number one, and the loser gets number three.
Yeah, right.
Type of a thing, and Allen is number two. So that's pretty much what I've had in my mind there, but I don't know if that's what the head coach has in his mind.
What else? When you watch Josh Allen, Paul, like you mentioned, the accuracy, it hasn't been as – you know, there was the one pass he misses early in camp that goes viral and somebody tweets out the video of him throwing it above a running back or whatever. Mm-hmm. Went nuts. Everybody went nuts over that. But for the most part, as you've watched him, his arm was strong. So you wouldn't go to camp and go, wow, I can't believe Josh Allen threw the ball downfield so long. We knew that was going to happen. But overall, as you watch him, one of the things that stood out to me is he doesn't look lost. He doesn't look like he's been really struggling. You don't see a guy like who can't handle the basics of getting the team out of the huddle and getting the play called and all these different things. As you have looked at everything about his game through the training camp practices, beyond the accuracy question, what else are there positives you see in his game? We know he's got a strong arm.
Yeah, he's talked about not letting a bad play hurt him moving forward. And he said there's been a couple of times in camp that's happened to him where he almost ruined his practice because he let a bad throw get to him. And so for a rookie to realize that right away and to improve it as he's gone along in training camp.
Yep.
Now, I say rookie. The thing is, I'm used to seeing 18-year-old rookies. In the NFL, we're not talking about 18-year-old rookies. We're talking about guys that have, in many cases, gone through 4 years of college, maybe redshirted in some cases, and are older type of guys anyway. But still, you know, a first-year quarterback can get very flustered in there. And when he did get flustered, he realized it and snapped out of it. And you know, as camp has gone on, not let his whole practice be destroyed because he had a wide open receiver downfield and he missed him, type of a thing. So he comes back and then, you know, is able to practice and have some maybe decent throws right afterwards. So just for a rookie to be able to do that, he seems pretty good at, you know, reading, you know, what's in front of him. Again, he and they had, if I'm not mistaken, I think they had said this, that he's a pretty quick learner.
Yep.
And
through the draft process, they mentioned that when he was in for his visit, I think.
Right. And I've seen some of that, too, where, you know, the process of being able to read what's in front of him and know what he's seeing, you know, he'll pick it up. And if he missed it the first time, he doesn't seem to miss it the second time.
Well, before I let you go, there's one guy I want to ask you about because he was a really cool story last year at camp. Now, numbers battle, he might lose out, especially with the Corey Coleman acquisition, and that's Brandon Riley. Leave it to Paul. Paul goes to football camp, goes to Bills camp, and interviews a guy who played hockey. And I didn't know that. You came up to me the other day and said, so, you know, did you read my Brandon Riley story about hockey? And I thought, what are you talking about? Give a little bit of background. I know you wrote a story about this at WGR550.com.
Yeah, he when he was in eighth grade, he was playing hockey in Omaha, and he was the seventh ranked player in the nation. That's how good he was. He had to make a decision then. He was either leave home to continue playing hockey or play high school sports at home. He decided to stay home and play high school sports. But we talked about hockey, and he was a center. And he said, you know, he often thinks about what could have been had he made that decision and gone that way and played hockey. I thought, well, do you think you could have gotten a Division I scholarship? Because I would have thought so. Mm-hmm. He goes, if I'm the seventh best player and you know, keep going in that direction, you know, you would think all the top schools would be after him,
yeah.
You know, looking for a scholarship offer and that type of thing. So he goes to Sabre games. He said he hasn't met any of the players. He said he would like to if he sticks around here and makes the team in some way, shape, or form. And he even said, I wouldn't mind going getting on the ice and see if I still have it with him. And I think, well, the same president is at the Sabres as the Bills. So she could probably make that happen if you wanted to do that. But
yeah.
You got to make the Bills team first.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was a pretty darn good hockey player out there. And still enjoys hockey and still enjoys the Sabres.
Did he say exactly why? Like he said, he thinks he could have been drafted. Actually, isn't there a D1 program in Omaha, like Nebraska, Omaha, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say exactly why he chose football over hockey, chose to do the high school sports route and stay there?
No, it seemed like he was kind of getting discouraged from that by his dad. It seemed like his dad maybe wanted him to go the hockey route.
Hmm.
But and he said the reason he got good at hockey was his brother played. And he was playing against older kids all the time. And he said, if you're going to compete against the older kids, you better get good fast. And that's kind of what happened for him. So I think it was just, you know, staying home and, Because the United States Hockey League, now that's not in eighth grade. You're not going to be able to play in that. That's after high school. Most of the players wind up, if they're going to go the college route, a lot of the players wind up in that league for a year or two before they actually start their college careers in hockey. And a lot of Niagara players do that, come in from that league, which is a lot of Midwest teams in Nebraska and Iowa and in that league. It seemed like the program in Omaha, it was kind of stuck there. He would have had to go to Minnesota to play high school, or Massachusetts, okay, or someplace like that where they have those prep schools and able to play hockey. And he just didn't want to leave home and his friends. He didn't have a scholarship at Nebraska, if you remember. He walked on. He was a walk-on in Nebraska, so he had to earn his scholarship there. And then he wasn't drafted in the NFL,
right?
And he basically had to walk on with the Bills. They signed him as a street free agent. And I was wondering, you know, with him being hurt, if they may IR him, put him on IR.
Oh, yeah, because he's been out.
And then they could keep him around that way. So, because I know they like him.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, him being out over a week now with an injury is not helping him in this race at wide receiver.
All right. It's a good story. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, have the Mets, did they set a record?
Yes.
Are they
did.
Like the only team ever that have like scored 24 runs in a game and given up 24 runs in a game in the same year?
No, it's just the first time it's happened since the 1800s.
Okay.
So it's a common occurrence, is what he's trying to tell you, Paul.
Howard, what was the last time that happened like?
you know what? I almost said something. Swear to God, I almost said it. It begins with.
Was it rainy that day?
The second word is you, and it almost slipped out of my mouth. I swear it. If the mics were off, it would have come out. I started to do the first syllable, and I stopped myself and realized, nope, I'm not supposed to do that.
No, Howard, I'm shocked you would ever, ever, ever use language like that on or off the air.
I use it all the time when people ask me what it's like to work with Paul.
You're my father. I can't even imagine my father using language like that.
Stop it. Stop it, old man. 1894, I remember it well. Cleveland was in the White House at the time, I think, and we had just gotten electricity. It was a very exciting time. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for playing along. Yes, it's the first time since 1894 a team did that.
All right, take care, guys.
Have a nice weekend, Paul.
Mm-hmm. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.